Hello and welcome to the Lancet Rheumatology Podcast. I'm Sophie Wilven, Deputy Editor of the Lancet Rheumatology, and today I'll be speaking to Dr. Rosemary Hollick from the University of Aberdeen. Dr. Hollick, thanks for joining me today.
So to start off with, can you please outline the main drivers for conducting the research for your recent publication on identifying key health system components associated with improved outcomes to inform services for adults with rare autoimmune rheumatic diseases?
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, so adults with rare autoimmune rheumatic diseases face unique challenges and struggles navigating healthcare systems that are designed to manage much more common conditions. And in practice, many different care models exist, and we know that clinical outcomes vary significantly between different centres. And there's a shared recognition from both patients and healthcare professionals that care needs to be delivered differently to better meet the needs of patients. And as one of our public contributors said, we could get a lot better at seeing people when they need to be seen, to have a route to get in touch with someone, getting in early, saying, I don't know what this is, but I'm worried, being able to articulate these fears for people to take you seriously and talk through these fears and then decide what we're going to do. And this was also reflected in what clinicians told us. I think they might prefer a service where they can have their bloods done locally. They can talk to you every now and again. And they know that they can press the bat phone and say, this is what's going on. And that doesn't look anything like the services we've got at the moment. And it needs a complete reconfiguration of how to do it. However, the problem is that to date, there's been limited evidence on how best to do this, and there are no evidence-based standards or guidelines to inform service delivery. So in other conditions like stroke and cancer, key components of care organisation and delivery have been shown to be important determinants of clinical outcomes. So, for example, reorganising care pathways to provide rapid access to expertise, cohorting or grouping the care of people with stroke in acute stroke units, and care planning within multidisciplinary teams. But all of these are unknown in the context of rare autoimmune rheumatic diseases. So in our study, using systemic vasculitis as an example, we aim to identify and explain the key service components underpinning effective rare disease care.
I think it's really important to kind of emphasise the need for patients to have a closer relationship with their clinicians. So it was a mixed method study, which is quite complex in its approach with both quantitative and qualitative analysis. Could you provide just a brief kind of simplified overview of how you designed and completed the study and perhaps why you chose this approach in particular?
Yes, it was a complex approach which presented a number of challenges and opportunities. So I guess firstly, we really wanted to understand what good care looked like from a patient and staff perspective. And then secondly, we wanted to identify what the key service components underpinning that good care looked like. And then we wanted to explore the association between exposure to these key service components and individual patient outcomes. So for example, serious infection, mortality, cancer and cardiovascular disease, and healthcare use such as emergency admissions to hospital. And then finally, we wanted to understand why key service components may be associated with improved outcomes. And so to do this, we combined several different qualitative and quantitative methods. We used national surveys, we used interviews with patients and staff, and we analysed national healthcare data sets. So we started off with the survey of vasculitis service providers across the UK and Ireland. And this provided a list of service components, including their availability and how important staff felt they were and what their priorities were for care were. And then we used that as a framework to analyse our patient interview data to understand what people valued, what good care looked like. And it helped us to prioritise the service components from a patient and staff perspective. The survey data also helped us to select some organisational case studies. So here we took a deep dive into six vasculitis services across the UK, where we thought that at least some of the key service components were already part of routine practice, but maybe achieved in different ways. And we spoke to a range of different staff involved in delivering vasculitis services to understand what good care looked like and what helped and hindered delivering that in practice. So bringing together the survey data and the interviews with staff and patients, we were able to understand what good care looked like and what that felt like in practice and the key service components that were necessary to achieve this. And we took this into our third stage of our study, where we looked at the association between these key components and individual health outcomes. And we analysed population level data, and that was taking advantage of access to a range of different national data sets, along with near complete survey coverage in Scotland. So using hospital record data, we were able to identify people with ANCA vasculitis, ANCA-associated vasculitis, which is a large subgroup of vasculitides. And we were able to determine which services they were looked after in, and using the survey data, whether or not they'd been exposed to these key components. So we could then look at the association between the key service components and individual health outcomes. And then finally, we went back to the interview and survey data to try and explain why these key service components were associated with improved outcomes. It does present a number of challenges because you've got researchers that come from very different research paradigms with very different approaches, and bringing everybody together, getting everybody on the same page, enabling the quantitative researchers to understand the qualitative research and vice versa. And it's also quite challenging in terms of involving public contributors, particularly around the quantitative data, where it's analysed securely within a national data safe haven, and access to that data is tightly controlled. So there were a number of challenges around that, but I think the team would also say that there was a number of pleasures of mixed method research. So for example, where the qualitative findings were borne out by the quantitative data, and for the quantitative researchers seeing the numbers brought to life and reflecting real people and real services. And I think that was really evident when we were presenting the findings at national workshops and key stakeholder events, where we observed how the different types of data really spoke to clinicians and patient representatives who were there, and it really helped tell the story.
Yeah, it's a great example of the perfect marriage between these two types of data and what that can achieve. So people with lived experiences were involved in the research and the writing process, which is really fantastic. How important is it that patients are included in research for rare diseases, and how can we encourage more of this in the future?
Yeah, so exactly. People with lived experience of vasculitis have been involved in the study right from the outset. And I think the importance of involving patients in research is best summarised by Steve, who was one of our patient partners who very sadly passed away just before the end of the study. But I think Steve sums this up really well. Steve said that research is how medicine and healthcare move forward. We, the patients, are the partners of the scientists, medical professionals and other researchers who make it happen. Our role is crucial. Without us, there is no research, and without research, there is no progress. Our patient partners were involved in the research process in many different ways. For example, they helped to design the study, analyse the information collected and reflected on the findings. They've also presented at conferences. They've helped to develop recommendations for clinical practice using data from the study. We've also written together about the importance of patient and public involvement in research. And using data gathered from the interviews, we've created an online resource for people with vasculitis, which includes filmed stories from people living with vasculitis. And it's hoped by hearing other people's experiences, it might help people living with rare diseases feel less alone. Also, with our patients, we've created a film which is based on people's experiences of vasculitis and healthcare and ideas for improving it. This shows how important good communication and coordinated care are to feeling safe. And it's designed to be used by local services to help and improve care. And we've actually won an NIHR Inclusion and Innovation Award for our patient partner involvement in the Voices study, which we're all really very proud of. I think you asked me also in terms of how we can encourage more patient and public involvement in research. And I think that we would argue that this needs to be a value that's embedded right from the start, as opposed to a tick box method. Practically, the Voices study started in 2019, and so the COVID-19 pandemic had quite a significant impact on our planned face-to-face activities, such as interviews and case studies and meetings. However, one of the advantages of the lockdown was that moving things online meant that people with systemic vasculitis could join in activities as long as they had access to the internet. And for people with rare diseases, particularly where they're spread thinly across the country and face a number of challenges in terms of mobility, fatigue, and also unpredictable illness where they can become very unwell very quickly, this was really helpful at facilitating participation.
Yeah, and so you mentioned that you've got some videos of patients and their stories. Where can people find those?
That can be found at healthtalk.org and / systemic vasculitis.
Amazing. So back to the outcomes and what you found. What were the key components that led to improved patient care and outcomes?
Yeah, so the first time we have identified key service components that are associated with improved clinical and healthcare provider outcomes, providing evidence to inform clinical service standards and guidelines. And the key components we identified were characterized by timely response to illness, continuity of care, and support for shared decision making. So self-reported average new patient waiting times of less than 1 week and the presence of nurse-led advice lines were associated with fewer serious infections and emergency hospital admissions. Average new patient waiting times less than a week were also associated with reduced mortality. Cohorted clinics, where you look after patients with vasculitis together in one clinic, nurse-led clinics, and access to specialist vasculitis multidisciplinary team meetings were also associated with fewer serious infections and emergency hospital admissions. We recognise that certain service components are interdependent and often coexist together within services, making it difficult to determine their independent effects. However, we've identified specific features such as waiting times for new patients within 1 week and nurse-led components of care that were independently associated with fewer serious infections, emergency hospital admissions, and lower risk of mortality. And all these key components were characterized by their ability to support development of relationships, overcome professional tensions between specialties, and for patients, they most importantly fostered a sense of feeling safe.
And finally, what are the next steps for research and healthcare for rare rheumatic diseases based on these findings and these key components that you've discovered?
Yeah, so whilst we've identified individual service components associated with improved outcomes, we don't know which service models work best to deliver these and in what context. And similarly, whilst we focused on health outcomes, such as clinical outcomes and healthcare use, patients tell us of the importance of a more holistic approach to care, and we don't know the impact of other non-NHS components of care, such as social care, on outcomes. But I think what we have developed is a set of key service components and methodologies. And so incorporating key service and experience outcomes into national administrative healthcare data sets, registries, and rheumatic disease cohorts will provide a framework for rigorous and timely evaluation of different service models across different healthcare contexts and help identify optimal combinations of service components. Also, the mixed methods approach that we've used can also be upscaled and applied to a broader range of rare diseases, as well as more common rheumatic diseases. And importantly, given the considerable funding challenges facing healthcare systems, this evidence will guide prioritisation and delivery of key service components. And it does offer the potential for considerable cost savings for healthcare systems in terms of fewer emergency admissions and serious infections. And we've also gained insights that can help support integrated care delivery at an individual, professional, organisational and policy level, so that we can create sustainable services that manage rare autoimmune disease conditions as opposed to disease and organ-specific services that we currently have.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hollick, for your time today. It's really interesting to hear more details about the paper and how you came about to do this study. You can find Dr. Hollick's paper on the Lancet Rheumatology website, along with this podcast and also our previous episodes. And thanks, everyone, for listening.